You are being evaluated right now, somewhere, sitting on a server in some massive climate-controlled data center. An algorithm is quietly parsing your data.
Just churning through it all.
Right. It's looking at the digital exhaust of your life to determine if you are, say, a viable candidate for a job interview or if you qualify for a mortgage.
Or maybe down the line, what kind of medical care you should be prioritized to receive.
Exactly. And we all know this is happening, but what if the people programming those algorithms, the developers writing the actual rules that govern your access to society, what if they're operating with a fundamentally flawed understanding of a single critical concept?
A completely backward definition of fairness.
Yes. Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we are pulling from a really incredible lecture transcript from the Ethics Workshop, and our mission today is to bridge a very specific gap.
It's a massive gap, honestly.
It really is. We need to look at how we as humans intuitively experience a value like fairness and how developers are forced to technically define that exact same value for an algorithm.
Because the foundational logic of fairness, as we're going to see, is not actually rooted in equality. It's rooted in inequality.
Which sounds completely counterintuitive right out of the gate.
It does. But the stakes for understanding this distinction genuinely could not be higher. When we talk about algorithmic bias in the tech industry, there's this pervasive underlying assumption that everyone simply knows what a fair outcome looks like.
Like it's just common sense.
Right, we treat fairness as this universal default. But translating a broad, fuzzy philosophical ideal into a strict mathematical function, into operational executing code, it requires a level of brutal precision.
And that precision is what exposes the massive contradictions in our modern definitions.
Exactly. We are treating this deep dive like a graduate level seminar today because the material really demands it. We're going to examine the classical roots of fairness, look at how that logic functions in the real world, and how it breaks down, and ultimately deconstruct a fatal academic flaw that's driving a huge portion of current machine learning literature.
So to understand where modern algorithmic design kind of, goes off the rails, we really have to establish a baseline
We had to go way back.
way back to Aristotle.
Yeah.
In his ethical framework, Aristotle proposed a definition of fairness that, well, it sounds like a bit of a linguistic knot at first, but it is incredibly precise when you parse it out.
He stated that equals should be treated equally and unequals proportionally, unequally within the decision domain.
Now, the first half makes intuitive sense to us. Treat equals equally, sure. But how does that second half, treating unequals unequally within a decision domain, how does that actually translate into the architecture of a machine learning model?
Well, that phrase within the decision domain is the entire anchor of the concept. That is literally where philosophy becomes math.
Right, because in machine learning, a person isn't really a person.
No, they are a feature vector. Imagine a single row on a massive spreadsheet.
Made up of ones and zeros.
Exactly. Representing your age, your zip code, your education level, whatever data has been collected. The decision domain is literally the specific set of columns we allow the AI to read to produce an output.
So if a piece of information, say, your eye color, if that's outside the decision domain, the algorithm just cannot see it.
It doesn't exist. For the purpose of that specific calculation, the model is completely blind to it.
That makes sense. The AI only knows the universe we explicitly build for it.
Precisely.
The source lecture provides a really brilliant way to test Aristotle's rule against this technical reality using two very clear-cut case studies.
The basketball player and the lawyer.
Right. So imagine you were tasked with hiring a basketball player. You've got two candidates standing in front of you. One is exceptionally tall and the other is exceptionally short.
Right.
If the only data point you are allowed to evaluate is height, then height falls strictly within your decision domain. And we don't need to overexplain the mechanics of the sport here. Height is an obvious, direct, justifiable advantage in basketball.
Right. Operationally speaking, because one candidate possesses an immense physical advantage that is directly relevant to the task, these two candidates are unequals.
They are unequals.
And because they are unequals within this specific decision domain, fairness demands that they be treated unequally.
Meaning the algorithm or the human hiring manager must hire the tall person.
They have to. To do otherwise wouldn't just be terrible sports strategy. Under this Aristotelian ethical framework, it would be fundamentally unfair to the taller candidate who actually possesses the relevant merit for the job. You are recognizing a valid distinction and acting on it.
But that basketball example is almost too easy.
It is, because the physical reality of the game perfectly justifies the bias.
Right. So what happens when the job has zero physical requirements? Let's take those exact same two candidates, one tall, one short, but this time we are hiring corporate lawyers.
A completely different decision domain.
Exactly. For analyzing case law or drafting contracts, physical height has zero causal relationship to success. Therefore, height should fall completely outside the relevant decision domain.
It shouldn't be a factor at all.
But suppose the developers messed up or the data set is incomplete. What if height is the only data point your algorithm has been fed?
Oh, wow.
It knows nothing about their LSAT scores, nothing about their trial experience. It only knows their relative heights.
This is where the mathematics of fairness get incredibly rigid. In the eyes of the law firm's decision domain, you have zero relevant data to separate their legal abilities. Therefore, to the algorithm, these two candidates are mathematical clones.
Even though one is tall and one is short.
Yes, because that difference is irrelevant. So mathematically, they are equals. And Aristotle dictates that equals must be treated equally.
Wait, hold on. How do you treat them equally when you only have one job to offer? You can't split a corporate law position down the middle.
You definitely can't hire both of them.
So what does the algorithm do?
You introduce chance. The only mathematically and philosophically fair action is to flip a coin.
Really? A coin toss for a corporate law job?
Yes. By randomizing the outcome, you are treating both equals with exact mathematical equality. Each candidate has a precise 50% probability of being hired. You are acknowledging that within the given decision domain, no justified reason exists to favor one over the other.
Mathematically, I hear you. But from a human perspective, telling a candidate they lost a high-stakes corporate job to a literal coin toss sounds insane.
Oh, it feels deeply unsatisfying.
Yeah. How does the academic literature justify defaulting to a lottery?
It justifies it by prioritizing the integrity of the decision domain over human comfort. Think about it. If you don't flip a coin, if you just let the algorithm pick the taller lawyer because it have to pick someone, you are allowing an irrelevant data point to contaminate the outcome.
You're embedding arbitrary bias into the system.
Exactly. The coin toss is the ultimate admission of ignorance by the algorithm. It is the machine saying, I do not have the data required to make a merited distinction, so I refuse to make an unmerited one.
That is a fascinating way to frame it, an admission of algorithmic ignorance.
It keeps the system honest.
But of course, the real world is rarely as clean as a basketball court or a blind coin toss.
No, it is notoriously messy.
Mary. And the source material moves us into a managerial gray area next. This is where I think the friction between human psychology and rigid code really explodes.
The Fortune 500 example?
Yes. Let's say you aren't hiring for sports and you aren't hiring for law. You are designing an algorithm to hire business managers for a major Fortune 500 company.
And this is where algorithmic design hits a massive wall.
Why?
Because the lecture cites independent research indicating a very stubborn, subjective correlation in the corporate world. Tall people are consistently graded by their peers and superiors as more effective managers.
Okay, but unlike basketball, where height relates to a literal physical hoop 10 feet in the air, there is no direct, logical, mechanical reason why being 6'4" makes you better at managing a global supply chain.
Or leading a marketing team. Exactly. There's no objective causal link.
So practically speaking, if I am a developer at that company looking at this tall manager correlation in my training data, what happens to my code? Do I scrub the height data entirely or do I weigh it differently?
That is the ultimate dilemma for our definition of fairness. Do we look at that statistical correlation and say, well, the historical data shows taller people get better management grades, so they are unequals in this domain?
Because if we do that, we treat them unequally and program the AI to consistently hire the taller candidate.
But if you do that, you have to ask yourself what you are actually coding. Are you capturing a genuine, hidden performance metric? Or are you just laundering historical human bias through a clean mathematical interface?
You're just automating our own subconscious preference for tall people.
Exactly. If you look at that correlation and conclude that it lacks a justified objective reason, that it is merely a reflection of human psychological bias, then you cannot use it. You must treat the candidates as equals.
And as we just established, treating equals equally when you have no other separating data means you simply flip a coin.
Right. You're back to the lottery.
This tension is incredible because if you scrub the data to eliminate the bias, you are actively telling the AI to ignore a metric that historically correlates with high peer review scores. You are blinding the AI to a weird but very real human dynamic.
Exactly. And developers face this every single day. Do you optimize for what the data is, or do you optimize for what you believe the data should be?
That's a brutal choice.
It is. If you leave the subjective grading correlation in the decision domain, you are cementing a human flaw into an automated gatekeeper, scaling it up infinitely.
But if you remove it, you are intentionally decreasing the predictive accuracy of your model based on past performance metrics.
There is no easy mathematical answer to that, which is why developers desperately look to academic literature for a framework to solve these dilemmas.
And you would hope that the academic literature surrounding machine learning would provide a rigorous, philosophically sound roadmap for this.
You would hope.
But the source lecture pivots here to a pretty devastating critique of current machine learning academia. It turns out the frameworks being widely embraced by the industry right now are fundamentally broken.
The lecture highlights a specific, highly influential paper in the field of machine learning fairness. We're talking about a paper that boasts nearly 4,000 citations.
4,000.
To put that in perspective, in academia, 4,000 citations doesn't just mean it's a popular read. It means this is a foundational text. It is canonical.
This paper is actively shaping how the next generation of algorithms is being conceptualized and built.
Yes. And the lecturer extracts a definition of fairness directly from this text. I will quote it exactly as provided in the source. Fairness is the absence of any prejudice or favoritism toward an individual or group based on their inherent or acquired characteristics.
You know, at first glance, if you were just casually reading that, it sounds wonderfully utopian.
It reads like a beautifully crafted legal charter.
No prejudice based on inherent or acquired characteristics. You can entirely see why developers looking for a clean ethical rulebook would latch on to that.
Absolutely.
But when you evaluate it with any degree of academic rigor, when you actually try to operationalize that sentence into code, it collapses completely.
It falls apart on contact with reality.
Let's break it down, starting with the first half. The prohibition against using inherent characteristics. Height is an inherent physical characteristic. So if we apply this paper's foundational definition of fairness, an algorithm could not fairly hire a tall person to play professional basketball.
It completely breaks the operational use of the algorithm. By forbidding the consideration of inherent characteristics, the model is ethically forbidden from looking at the most vital, relevant data point in the entire decision domain for that specific job.
You are telling the AI to ignore the physical reality of the task it is optimizing for?
Yes.
But as absurd as that is, the second half of the definition is even more destructive. It forbids favoritism based on acquired characteristics.
Right. Think about what that actually means in the real world. A university degree isn't a acquired characteristic.
Years of professional experience in a specific field are acquired characteristics.
By the logic of this massively influential paper, an algorithm could not fairly hire a candidate who spent 3 grueling years earning a law degree over a candidate who has never even opened a law book.
Because to the algorithm, recognizing that degree would constitute favoritism based on an acquired characteristic.
Exactly.
It means an algorithm could not fairly recommend a seasoned, tenured university professor for a specialized research grant over a college freshman.
It is truly stunning.
The academic irony here is just staggering. You have a paper written by academics who presumably acquired their positions through years of acquired education and acquired publishing credentials, advocating for a societal system that explicitly forbids acknowledging acquired traits.
It's an Ouroboros of academic nonsense.
It really is.
And when you trace the operational implications of this definition to their logical conclusion, the result is catastrophic for decision making.
Because you're stripping away everything.
Yes. If you apply this rule, if you strip away all inherent traits and you strip away all acquired traits, you have emptied the decision domain entirely. There's no data left to evaluate.
You have forced every single candidate into a state of artificial equality.
And as we established with the lawyer case study, when all candidates are deemed mathematical equals by the system, what is the only fair action left?
You have to flip a coin.
Exactly. This highly cited definition effectively mandates that every algorithmic hiring decision, every loan approval, every university admission, you're reduced to random chance.
It isn't promoting fairness at all.
No. It is promoting forced randomness. It equates fairness with blindness.
It's actually wild when you think about it. We're using a guy in a toga from 2,000 years ago to debug Python scripts in a modern server farm. And Aristotle is winning the logic battle handily against a modern paper with 4,000 citations.
because Aristotle understood that you cannot decouple fairness from the context of the decision. When developers try to program models to treat everyone exactly the same, regardless of context, they aren't creating a fair system. They are creating a broken one.
Right.
The root logic of fairness, operationally and philosophically, is actually inequality. Fairness is the ethical framework by which we justify treating people differently.
That is the core paradigm shift you need to take away from this material. Fairness is the rigorous process of determining which data points are valid and relevant within a specific decision domain, and then actively discriminating based on those valid points.
And we should be clear, we're using the word discriminate in its purely analytical, mathematical sense here.
Yes, to recognize a distinction and act upon it.
Right. If a candidate does the work, acquires the education, and builds the experience, fairness demands that they defeat the candidate who did none of those things. The Aristotelian framework demands that unequals be treated unequally.
That is the only possible way to build an algorithm that recognizes and rewards human merit.
If you cannot treat unequals unequally, merit just ceases to exist in the eyes of the machine.
And this brings us back to why this entire philosophical debate matters directly to you listening to this right now. We are rapidly moving toward a society where the bottleneck for almost every major opportunity is an automated gatekeeper.
It's already happening.
If you are applying for a critical role you've trained your whole life for, or seeking a business loan to start a company, or waiting in an emergency room for a medical triage decision, you absolutely do not want an algorithm that views you as strictly equal to someone with entirely different qualifications, habits, or needs.
You want to be evaluated on your distinct, hard-earned metrics. You want an algorithm that possesses the mathematical and ethical capacity to treat you proportionately unequally based on your actual verifiable merits within that specific domain.
You want the machine to see your acquired traits and inherently understand their value.
Precisely.
We have covered a tremendous amount of ground today, moving from ancient Greek philosophy to the flawed code currently sitting in modern server farms.
A lot of heavy concepts.
We've explored how a desire for utopian equality can actually mandate forced randomness. But as with any rigorous seminar, we don't want to just give you the theory. We want to test your own ethical boundaries regarding this logic of inequality.
We want to leave you with a profound dilemma to wrestle with on your own.
Exactly.
Because it is easy to demand proportional merit when we are talking about jobs or basketball. The ethical math feels comfortable there. But what happens when the stakes are life and death?
Imagine you are the lead developer programming an AI to allocate life-saving medical treatments during a severe catastrophic shortage. You only have enough treatment for half the patients currently in the hospital. As the developer, you are forced to choose between two competing ethical goods for your algorithm's decision domain.
A terrible position to be in.
Do you optimize for the ethical good of strict equality, where the AI is programmed to ignore all acquired medical history and inherent health characteristics, treating every single patient identically through a purely random lottery?
Or do you optimize for the ethical good of proportional merit, where the AI actively discriminates based on acquired medical history and inherent physical resilience to maximize the total survival rate, fundamentally treating human lives as unequal?
Which version of fairness can you live with?